Good morning, church. Good morning and welcome to Worship at the Vines, and welcome to you also online. How have we been this week? The weather has been up and down. How about you? I must confess my week has not been one I would put on my top 10. But it's good to know that we don't walk it alone. We walk it with the presence of God beside us. All we have to do is acknowledge it. And sometimes I'm not too good at that either. But he's there and he endures. He is always there. So let's stand. Let's praise this amazing God. That line, God endures unchanging on, glorious in his faithfulness. How amazing is his love.
Thank you.
Lord God, we are stunned and amazed by your love. Love which you give us unmeasured, without measure, rich and free. That you took our hand and walked to Calvary and took our place. We know we're not perfect. We know what we do things wrong all the time. We get impatient. We get forgetful. Quick to speak. Slow to listen. Those habits which we swear we will stop keep creeping back. The people we swear we will contact, we forget once again. Lord, we know that only your Son, Jesus Christ, has the perfection and he has offered it to us, that you may see us as perfect in your eyes. And we thank you for that sacrifice. Lord, may we walk as forgiven people. May we claim that glory, that power, as we walk through life with you. And Lord, may we grow in strength in your love and grace, grow dearer and closer to you. Thank you, Lord.
I delight in the Lord with all my mind and all my heart and soul. I delight in the Lord with all my mind and all my heart and soul. As I wait upon the Lord, I grow strong.
Good morning, church. How are we all today? Good. All right. How many kids do we have today? Tiana, you're our one and only. All right. How are you?
I'm good.
How was school getting back into term four?
It was awesome.
What do you think? Are you looking forward to what's going to happen in a couple of months' time?
Well, next week on Friday we have our musical performance.
That's exciting. Right? Wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing that. Well, today in our kids' talk, we're going to be talking about something. Well, we're going to be talking about blindness, which is maybe a little bit unusual topic. But can I ask you a couple of questions? Do you know anybody, or have you had got anybody in your family or anyone you know about who might be struggling with sight or having difficulty to see?
No.
All right. Well, why don't we all experience what it could be to be blind? Right? Are you ready to play a game? Yeah? Normally I would say, can we have a volunteer? But unfortunately now we got only one person, so you got to be the only volunteer. Oh yeah, you could as well if you want to. Tiana, you want to have a go as well? What do you want to, maybe both of you can have a turn. Why don't you do one thing? Let one person lead and the other person will do it. Why don't you lead? All right, so we're going to play this game. Sorry, I just have to put this down.
Can you see?
I see green.
See only green? What's this number here?
All right. That's beautiful. Thank you, Tiana. I'll take the blindfold off. But before I take the blindfold off, I just had a couple of more questions for you. It's all right. It's all right. You can have that there for now. I'm right here. Can you tell me how you felt when you were blindfolded?
Like I was blind.
Yeah, right. But how did you feel? Like, it was good that Christian was there to guide you, right? But if Christian was not there, how would that make you feel?
Like I had to do it by myself.
If you'd have to do it by yourself, it'd be a little tough, wouldn't it?
What's the chair?
You'd have to look for it. You'd have to try to hunt for it. And when you did find the chair, you'd have to trust that it is definitely the chair that's behind you. You'd have to trust it and lean back forward, right? Right? And sit on it. If somebody had moved the chair away, you wouldn't know, would you?
No.
Right. Well, thank you. I'll take that off for you now. I know it makes you feel uncomfortable. All right, thank you, Tiana. Let's have a seat here. Let's discuss about that a little bit. So basically, you had to have faith. You had to have faith in Kristen, didn't you? Because your eyes could not see, your ears had to work harder to listen. Right? Because you were listening to everything that Kristen had to say. Take left, take right, one step forward, one step backward. You had to rely on what she was telling you, right? And then when you reach for the chair, you had to turn around. You couldn't see the chair was behind you, but you had to have faith that it was there, right? So when you sat down, you knew it was there, going to be there to support you, right? That's pretty much how we are, have to be with Jesus as well. Sometimes we can't see. We can't see God's presence. Sometimes we can't always hear what he has to tell us. Sometimes it's by faith. We've got to trust and we've got to hope and trust that the Lord whom we believe is there to support us. And he will reveal himself to us in times, just like how Christian talks to you, tells you, take one step forward, take a step backward. If we listen carefully, we can hear God speak to us. And he'll tell us, Tiana, maybe that's not a good idea. Or Tiana, go for it. You know? So that's pretty much how it is. Today in Sunday school, we'll talk a little bit more about the blindness because there's a story in the New Testament where Jesus healed a blind man. His name was Bartimaeus, and he had blind faith. You see, although he physically was blind, spiritually he could see. He could see something that the crowds did not see, even though they had eyes. They could see the miracles that Jesus performed. Jesus walked and talked everywhere, but they did not believe. They did not have faith. Whereas this blind man who had never seen Jesus before, he knew that he was the Son of God. He knew that Jesus could heal him. And he believed. And his faith gave him sight. Right? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your loving grace, Father, that engulfs us beyond our words, thoughts, and deeds, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have loved us in spite of our lack of trust and sometimes lack of enough sufficient faith in you, Lord. Open our eyes, our minds, and hearts that we may see and believe. Help us, Lord Jesus, as we dwell into your word and as we open our minds and hearts, reveal to us the secrets that is only known to you, that we may be able to learn and grow with you as we grow in our spiritual faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just a few notices before we continue. You would have all received the grapevine, and if you haven't got a copy, there's some in the foyer, but also you can get it online. If you haven't and would like to, then please let us know. There's just a couple of things in there worth noting. One in particular is the leprosy mission catalogue. Lawa. So if you want to order something, today is the last day. It's a great cause, the leprosy mission. There are still people who suffer from leprosy. And these are crafts, there's decorations, children's toys, homewares, all sorts of things. So if you would like to order some, especially as Christmas gifts, today is the last day. And Elaine can help you out with that one. While we're at it, and with other things out on the table, I'll remind you that we have Frontier News. Now, what Frontier Services does in the Outback is absolutely rivetingly important. That not only the patrol padres, but all the processes, all the programs they have, which support those who are isolated by distance. It's a huge thing. So this keeps you informed about what's going on out there. And it's a really important part of the Uniting Church. And also, last but not least, in case you haven't seen it, the New Times, which is the South Australian Uniting Church newsletter. There's copies of that out there as well. And again, it doesn't hurt us to know what's going on outside our own little world. And to be part maybe of our prayer life and giving in some way or another. We are part of a huge church. The only other thing I think is that there is a card for David Pryor out in the foyer. If you haven't signed it and would like to, please do so. So that he knows that he's not forgotten here. We can't all go and visit him. That would be overwhelming for him as well as not good for his health. But it's a way of us ensuring that he knows he's still in our prayers. So thank you for that. Colin?
I gave thought to the time I left my home church, and I worked out it was about, it was well over 60 years ago. One of the things I remember about it was how often I had a particular hymn. That hymn was one by John Greenleaf Whittier, and I'm sure many of you know it, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. It must have been that the ministers at the time liked it very much, but there was I growing up and impressionable, and I found it was helpful to me, so much so that right even to today I can remember some of the verses off by heart because they say something. And I felt it was important as we come to our prayer time to mention one of the verses from that hymn because I think it applies to us as we share our lives with God and the sorts of things that happen to us. This is the verse I particularly want to mention. Drop thy still dews of quietness until all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. and so as a youngster, that's the sort of thing that came to me and helped me in my living. I'm wondering in our prayer time now whether we, and not only now, but as we pray to God during our ordinary lives, that it might be that we feel that he drops his dews of quietness on us in that time, and that we find the beauty of his peace. Let's pray together. Our dear God and Father, we humbly praise you for your deep goodness to us as we acknowledge your touch in our lives. That touch which reaffirms our faith and gives us the courage to face sometimes difficult times. We thank you for the still small voice that whispers encouragement in our ear in times of need. Thank you for the delicate beauty of a flower and the encouragement of friends. Yet amongst so many good things, we discern much that makes us shudder. It seems that so many people aim for wealth and power as against mercy and love. We have wept at the sight of so much destruction and death in Gaza and Israel. And our hopes and prayers are that such atrocities will cease. But as well as this, there are so many places, often hidden from our eyes, where children are kidnapped, armed forces destroy, maim and kill. Places where regimes brutally rule their people. And Lord, we must not forget the ongoing war in the Ukraine. Yes, Lord, we do need for you to drop your still dews of quietness. And we need you to help us individually, if possible, or through our various governments, to find ways to ensure that the beauty of your peace is found by all. Following our referendum, we pray for our First Nations people as they complete their week of silence, as they try to find ways to deal with the immense problems. We seek your blessing on them and those in government, that they might find ways suited to their care. We pray for governments of the world and for our governments particularly. We pray for wisdom and statesmanship for each representative, for the good of all people and influence on the world at large. Our media tells us how much our service people need our support, and we are grateful for it. We think of our police, our paramedics, our doctors and nurses, teachers, and many other service people who give so much to our community, and we pray for them the strength and wisdom needed for their tasks. Dear God, we want to pray for the Church Universal, that it will be true to its charter, and for your church here in this place, as we seek to be faithful people. Show us your way that we may serve you well. We bring our prayer for our minister David with thanksgiving for his progress. We pray for Trevor as he shares with us in this time. And we pray for other special ones as we share with you their names and their situation in the silence of this time. Please hear our own personal prayers, those prayers about those special things that are going on in our lives that we need to bring to you and seek your help. And now we share in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You can remain seated for our next song.
Lord of my life, I love you. Lord of my days, I trust in you. Living beneath the shelter of your wings, my heart sings. For when I am lost, you find me. When I'm in need, you shelter me. Lord of my life, you are my secret place.
So grateful that we can come to you shelter with you, and that you are our secret place in times of need. You have provided us with so much, our security, financial and physical, our emotional well-being, our friends, our church, our family. Lord, we thank you for all these things, and we bring to you this morning part of that to offer back to you and your kingdom. We also offer ourselves that in our, with our flaws, we know that you still use us, and that is extraordinary. So we offer ourselves as well. Please take and use for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. The reading for today is taken from Luke chapter 18, verses 31 to 43. A third time Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Look, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." But they understood nothing about these things. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. Jesus heals a blind beggar near Jericho. As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Then he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who were in front of him sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, praised God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Be a bit of a tag team this morning, doesn't it? Before I begin my message, I have a message, I suppose, from Ian. And do you remember some time ago he preached a series of sermons called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality? Do you remember those? And for a number of people, they were really helpful. So he has let me know that he has prepared a summary of those messages, and if you contact Ian, you can either get them as a hard copy or he will send them to you electronically. So I think they were very helpful for a lot of people. So if you would like those, you just need to contact Ian. He might be retired, but he hasn't gone. Well, he is away this weekend with Karen. As I come to this message this morning, I actually struggled. It's very good when you have a theme. Somebody gives you a theme and you go, okay, that's all right, I'll work on that. But when you go, will you just speak next week? Like, oh, okay. Okay, Lord, what do we need to do with this? And so I was directed maybe two or three times to this particular reading, so I figured that God wanted me to say something out of that. So having prayerfully prepared, I trust that this message this morning will reveal something more of God to you and where God has you in his plans. What do you want me to do for you? A poor beggar has been sitting by the side of the road for a very long time. There was no place for him in Jericho. He was an outcast, discarded, blind, alone, and unloved. And it was a lovely little illustration with the children's talk of that. Occasionally, some passerby might drop a coin in his cup so he could maybe get some bread. Occasionally, a person might take pity on him and stop for a chat. Maybe tell him what the world he cannot see looks like. Mostly lonely and isolated, he sat there day by day, dependent on the grace of others. But one day, there is a different sound around him. And we know that when people have some senses that don't work so well, others can be very, 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 very powerful. So there's a different noise around him, a lot more voices. So he cries out, "What's going on? What is all the commotion about?" Somebody says to him, "The one called Jesus of Nazareth is passing through, and there are many people following him." "What? Jesus of Nazareth here? Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus of Nazareth, here, near to me? I've heard so many travellers speak of him and the miracles he has done, of the people who have had their lives changed by just a touch. I want to see him." So he shouted out, not to Jesus of Nazareth, but rather to the Son of David. "Son of David, have mercy on me." As I have said, the poor blind man was totally dependent on the goodwill of strangers for survival. No job, no money, no dignity, and no friends. Yet in spite of this situation, he appeared to understand something that the people who were close to Jesus did not. And Luke has deliberately put these two stories together. Every Jew somewhere in their life story had heard of the Son of David, who would show God's mercy and bring freedom to the people in his time. But in this time and place, this poor beggar had that aha moment as he realised that this Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the Son of David. And though people around him, in no uncertain terms, you can imagine, told him to be quiet, he yelled all the louder. Jesus knew his visit to Jerusalem would end in pain, his pain and the pain of his disciples, and in fact of all who had joined his entourage. He has tried to explain to these close disciples what will happen, but they are either unable to understand or in fact refusing to understand what he is telling them because it's just too horrible to contemplate. They are blind to the truth. He just had to be more than a wandering teacher, but they could not see it. To the understanding which was most important, they were blind. So when Jesus heard these words, "Son of David," he knew that there was one here who actually understood. And he stopped still and ordered that the man be brought to him. Someone took his hand and led him to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Was that a silly question on Jesus' part? Couldn't he see this man's many needs? But all he replies is, Lord, let me see again. Not money, not food, not comfort, not shelter, simply, let me see again. And Jesus immediately responds, go ahead, see again. Your faith has saved and healed you. And immediately he regained his sight, tacked onto the crowd, and followed Jesus, and glorified God. And all the people who witnessed it praised God. The encounter for which this man had waited so long changed his life and the lives of so many more. No longer an outcast and a blind beggar, he was now the companion of Jesus. And I reckon that would have been pretty scary because all his life he had known rejection. And you can be sure he did not hesitate to tell everybody he met what Jesus had done for him. And his story has been told for centuries. Jesus can turn a life around in just a moment. No matter how difficult a situation, if we turn to Jesus and seek God's help, he can break through even the toughest wall and find purpose and meaning for our lives and bravely continue forward. Corrie Ten Boom in The Horror of the Concentration Camp could say, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. I'm assuming now, I know that it's very dangerous to assume, and I won't talk about making an ass out of you and me, but I am assuming that we who meet here week by week do so because we have proved the truth of that, that there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. We have experienced God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. We have been set free to become all that God knows us to be. We have faith that no matter what is going on in our lives, through the power of His Holy Spirit, we will walk through the darkest valley to meet the sunshine on the other side. And this is a wonderful assurance. And we hang on to its truth. In eternal gratitude, we praise and worship God. But what about those who have yet to know the touch of the Master's hand? So many people are blind to what a difference a relationship with Jesus can make in a person's life. We are blessed to be a blessing. When we choose to open our eyes and hearts to the truth of God's amazing grace, we receive great blessings. But with those blessings comes great responsibilities. I actually think that in all the words in the Holy Bible, the two most important words are so that. Blessings received so that we might share the love of Jesus in our living and speak into the injustices which pervade our society, even as Jesus did. It means choosing to do something about the brokenness about us, reaching out to those for whom life is very tough. It is about acknowledging the beggar by the wayside and offering that hand of help and healing. You remember when the disciples asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And I'm sure you can all repeat it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. This means not taking our relationship with God lightly, but rather letting it be the motivation of all that we do. My mother, many years ago, used to quote to me when we saw someone in need, "There but for the grace of God go I." And then she would see what practical help she could offer from her meagre resources of that time. You've heard these words before. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." But then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. So if Jesus asked each one of us gathered today, "What do you want me to do for you?" how would you answer? I would hope it is the desire of each one of us to see him more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly every day. To ask of him, "Save me from myself. Help me to see you in all people. Help me to be compassionate and kind. Help me to reach out to those who are alone. Help me to have the courage to step out in faith and speak your word. Help me to be willing to take the beggar by the hand and lead them to new life. Help me see the world through your eyes. Help me to be like you." Are we courageous enough as individuals and as a collective to commit so completely? The reality is that when we accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we are committing to being his presence in our time and place, committing to go where he would have us go, to opening our eyes to the immense needs in our society, to stepping out in faith that we might make a difference for good in our community. Maybe then it is the time to ask, "What do you want me to do for you?" We know that to follow Jesus will be costly. History has proved the truth of that. If we choose to claim the name of Jesus, then we must be prepared to trust God all the way. His heart weeps over those whose priorities are somewhat askew. Jesus relies on us. He has no other plans. Relies on us to show in our living the saving grace of God, to offer the hand of compassion so that all whom we encounter might truly come to see who Jesus is. Maybe Jesus is calling us as a church to be courageous, to look at what is going on in our community and to think outside the square, to explore what we do differently to reach that mass of people who pass us by, never giving a thought to what a difference a relationship with God can do for them, struggling in the unknown and yet not realising how actually simple it is to take that hand and have Jesus open their eyes to a life-giving alternative. You see, Jesus' question wasn't so silly after all. Jesus knew there was much more than an issue with this man's sight, as important as that was. The act of Jesus restored his confidence, gave him a purpose and a reason for living, and a future. For we are told, and I have already quoted it, that he went with Jesus, glorifying God, and when the people saw it, They praised God. One little spark can get a fire going. One word can heal or begin to heal an aching heart. One hand outstretched can offer hope. As that man over and over recounted his meeting with Jesus, more and more people came to understand also and to respond. Sadly, most people in the community around us do not look with favour on the church, in fact, on any church, any place. It is rare for a non-believer to enter the church door without an invitation. It seems we have fallen behind in these very challenging times. I'm sure most of us can look back on huge Sunday school anniversaries, packed services and joyful celebrations. The world has changed, and I think the church has struggled to keep up with those changes. What we know is what we like. Change is confronting, and we are comfortable. It seems to me that the community wants to see that the church is different from the culture around it, accepting of all, non-judgmental, and above all, a place where love, grace, and compassion flow like a river. So maybe for us here this morning, the question ought to be, please God, what do you want us to do for you? We must be more than a happy group of friends or a social club. We need to be a place where people receive their sight, where they meet Jesus, where they see God's love is real, and where they find direction and purpose for their lives. I believe if we are fair dinkum about being a church where this is experienced, we need people who will step up, dream dreams, and help create new opportunities for those outside to see what we are on about. The church congregational meeting is coming up in just a few weeks. There will be requests for new people to take on positions of leadership. I ask you to take time this week to prayerfully ask God, what do you want me to do for you? It seems to me that the best welcome back gift we could offer David is a congregation which is enthusiastic and excited about its future. But it all depends on us. So, what do I want Jesus to do for me? What do you want Jesus to do for you? But be careful, because you might get an answer. Amen.
Thank you, Marge. Let's stand and let's conclude our worship with thoughts on our mind about not only what do we want from Jesus, but what does God want from us. So let's stand and conclude.
Peace rising.
I leave you with a passage from Ephesians chapter 3. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.